The NZ Everyday Investor Podcast, a podcast series designed to help you, the everyday Kiwi, build new wealth in the new world that we're heading into. My name's Darcy Ungaro. I'm your host and qualified financial advisor. Managed funds, property, shares, crypto. Whether you're investing for your retirement or saving for your first home, I explore anything and everything, mainstream or alternative, that can help you on your way. If you're into thinking for yourself and you have a desire to grow wealth, then you've come to the right place. Extra insights and information on today's show can be found by tapping or swiping over the cover art in your podcast player. Here you'll find some show notes, which will contain all relevant links related to today's topic. While you're there, be sure to sign up to the newsletter and follow the show across all social media channels, including YouTube. Investment options and strategies discussed on the show may not be suitable for all investors. Please be sure to conduct plenty of your own independent research and ideally obtain advice before acting on anything discussed. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey, welcome to the show today, and thanks for listening in. Today on this Friday edition, property, what do I really think about investing in new builds? Perhaps you've signed up to one off the plans, or you've recently purchased one, or you might not, I really don't know. Maybe you're hoping I'd be talking about something else, I don't know. But before we go on, I need to issue a special warning around this topic today to point out that it's opinion and not fact. Two things are going to happen for you, I think. You'll either be provoked today to consider this question: is it really a good idea to purchase a new build as an investment property right now? If you still think it's a good idea after listening to this, then that's awesome. I know you probably like to think things through and test the other side of the coin before you actually take action, and what you already decided was a good idea probably is still a good idea. But the other thing that may happen is perhaps due to the fact that you may have forgotten the reason why you think the way you do, you may feel like you've made a horrible mistake by investing in new builds. I honestly do not want you to feel there's a right or a wrong thing to be investing in or a wrong way to do it. But if there's an abundance of emotion driving any financial decision, I think we should talk about it. Is fear of missing out driving you? Are you investing towards a goal or a purpose, or doing it just because you can and you feel like somehow you're supposed to just do it? It's just a thought. As I've mentioned many times before, it's not the investment or the investment strategy that you choose that defines who you are as an investor. Aggressive mortgage repayment is right for many, but terribly wrong for others. Passive versus active, investing in crypto, in individual shares, thematic funds. For some, it's exactly what they need, but for others, they should stay well away from it. There's no right or wrong type of investment here. It's all about what you're trying to build, not the tools that you're building with. So, that out of the way, let's talk about why buying newly built homes as rental properties are the stupidest things you could ever invest in. I bet I had you going. Anyway, firstly, before I talk about what I love and hate about investing in new builds, I want to cover off what economist Tony Alexander thinks about being a property investor right now.
At least I think house prices on average flatten out, and there's a chance we see some generalized falls for a short period of time. This is it. It's ending now, and it's just a question of, will it be the gradual flattening out in the next sort of 12 months, or could there be a more severe adjustment further out? I don't know. All I know is if I had five investment properties, I might be inclined to sell one at the moment and take some risk off the table.
Now, I asked the question also recently on LinkedIn. What do you think will happen to New Zealand property prices in the next 12 months? 32% of people thought they would stay the same. 48% thought prices would keep tracking upwards. And only 19% of people felt that prices would decline. So it's encouraging to know I'm not entirely on my own here. But after that wee survey on LinkedIn, I know very much that the majority of people probably still think that things are going to keep on flying fine. Why don't I agree with that, though? Well, firstly, interest rates have increased by about 2% in 6 months' time. That's over $1,600 per month more on a $1 million mortgage. It's crazy. Almost all of us sit waiting for OCR announcements and MPS statements. But the smarter move of late was actually to lock in interest rates, and well before now. So the cost to borrow money has almost doubled, and not only that, it's now significantly harder to get it, thanks to new legislation resulting in stricter lending criteria. The result? Less new credit creation damages property values first, then the real economy shortly afterwards. To top it all off, the icing on the cake are the tax rule changes, not just on some property investors, but on higher income earners everywhere. These three issues, the cost of money, the availability of it, and a growing government, led me to, for the first time in forever, think that maybe with property, rough times could be ahead. Hopefully, short, sharp, and then we're back on track, but could get a bit bumpy. I'm also aware that at a certain age, men go through changes, where they get angry when lights are left on and they complain about the government all the time. That could be happening here. Who knows? Perhaps the property market's fine after all. Okay, just keep in mind that I have this uncomfortable thought in the back of my head, somewhere way back there, that may be influencing why I feel a little bit concerned in the new build space in particular right now. Okay, so before I get negative again, though, here's what I love about the idea of investing in new builds. That's right, there are some definite positives to it. Firstly, favorable tax treatment. It's now official. You can claim the interest costs associated with borrowing to purchase an investment property still, so long as it's a new build. So now, if you borrow to create a new home for someone, you can feel good about what you're doing. You're providing housing in a way which is far more efficient than government could ever pull off. And you're also funding the free market solution to a problem mostly caused by them. Your reward for doing this extends to you financially, too. You get to be in the remnant of property investors who still get to be treated like any other business owner, where you don't have to pay tax on your gross revenue, rather your net profit. In other words, you're living the dream. You're in the majority, so you don't need to worry about the iniquities inflicted upon the minority, those outcasts who own pre-existing rental properties with their soon-to-be non-tax-deductible debt. Anyway, this is a real benefit. And those who do favor yield in a broad sense get even more of that potentially with investing in new builds over pre-existing. That was true before the tax changes, but it's more true now. Next one, yield. In this present age, if you have cash to invest and you're working your guts out, it's natural to want to put this into assets that spin off cash flow. The goal is to invest in anything that puts money in your back pocket, so that over time you're less dependent on active mining of income through physical or mental work. The perfect strategy involves you scaling up your passive income as you dial down your active income. So as the albatross licks the water with their flappy orange feet, so commences the perfect retirement landing. New build properties can offer a glimpse into a world where passive income is still sort of possible. And let's face it, unless you can own commercial property which provides even better yield, new builds must be one of the next best options in the property space, at least relative to existing properties. And why? Partly due to the extremely favorable relative tax treatment, and partly as the maintenance requirements are often lower. So that's the next thing, lower maintenance requirements. Let's face it, and subject to the type of tenants you attract, you should hopefully have lower maintenance concerns with new builds versus pre-existing homes, at least in the short to medium term. Again, if you're looking to build up cash flow, this is yet another reason why new build properties make sense as rentals. Some tenants prefer new properties because everything is so new and shiny also, so your rents might be a little bit up. And if you spend less on fixing stuff, at least initially, there's more of that stuff left over for you in later years, that income thing. Next up, though, that I like about investing in new builds, opportunity to gain if you buy from developers mispricing the property in a rising market. This is why, so often, you see property sales of new builds spike up in a rising property market. There's an incentive to purchase because you often only pay a 10% deposit and it may take about 1 or 2 years to complete the construction. This is when you buy a turnkey new build. Now, at the date of settlement, when you hand over the rest of your money and they hand over the keys, you receive the transfer of capital gains that accrued during the construction period. Remember, though, this only works in a rising market because the price is agreed at time of sale, not at completion after the land has had an opportunity to appreciate in value. Now, it's not a list of all the good things about new builds as investments. I know it's all I can serve up right now. So that's where I'm going to leave it. Now we're going to talk about what I think we often miss when it comes to the dark side of buying new build properties as rentals. And a friendly reminder that what I said at the start is still true. This is opinion that speculates at something in the future. Now, yield is great with new builds, but here is the problem. Yield is dying. So bear with me. Since the early 80s, interest rates have been steadily on a decline. Not in a straight line, of course, but overall, they've been in a downward channel. Why? Because the traditional sponges, the baby boomers building up their asset base or entering their prime of their income years, soaked up the bank-created new currency as they built up their worlds. Eventually, some of them, though, started to do something interesting. They started to squeeze out this currency again to the next generation who began to start spending up big, which caused inflation in some areas, but largely that was ignored or masked by technology deflation. Falling interest rates and inaccurate consumer price index figures distorted the impacts of it all, and in a cumulative way, more and more currency came into being all the while, like a snowball or some giant ball of belly button lint rolling down a hill. Too much money spikes up valuations and yield drops. I should have just said that, actually. After hearing quite a few different perspectives, and this is the only one that kind of makes sense, and I'm sure there's holes in it somewhere as a theory, but there you go. A surplus amount of currency in the system finds its way towards assets. Our markets now are sponges that have appreciated in price, if not in true value. A long-term trend of this over 40 years is not likely going to reverse in the next 10. This means that capital gains-based strategies will likely produce better results, all things considered, relative to the strategy that favors yield. Now, I know it's a completely different paradigm to operate out of, and it may run contrary to what you've been told slash sold. So, the issue I have with investing in new builds is also cash flow. The assumption underneath it all with investing in new builds is that the main reason why we do it is because cash flow is sold as the one true way to build wealth, especially with property investment. But I say, bollocks. And remember, opinion only here, investing for cash flow is just one way to do it, and it might not even be the best way either, subject to who you are as an investor and what you really need to get out of this. When you're an investor, you have a say in the form of benefit that you want to collect, cash flow or capital gains. If you're into gardening, you'll know that some nutrients help the plant grow and other nutrients help the plant produce fruit. Think about capital gains and yield strategies in the same way. Do you want to grow a tree during your working life when cash flow comes from your job so you can eat plenty of fruit from the tree when you need it? Or should you focus on the fruit from the start, even though this could come at the expense of a bigger tree later? The more money that chases yield-favoring assets, the more pressure this puts on the values, which in turn reduces the yield. Worst case, capital is then scared away into the next best-yielding assets. This is simplistic, but it warrants serious consideration if you're still in the wealth-building part of your life. Actually, before I go on, I should make it clear when I'm referring to investing in new builds, I'm talking about buying a new home as a rental in a new area that's recently been injected with a bunch of new properties at once and relative high density. I'm not like house ageist or anything. The ultimate rental property, in fact, could be a new build, but in an already well-established neighborhood, especially if it's built in a manner that's consistent in style compared to neighboring properties. Lower maintenance, more favorable tax treatment. You're part of the solution to fixing a problem caused by the government, and you're more likely to get the steady capital appreciation often missed for prolonged periods of time with higher density new build developments. Think about it though. What's going to be in higher demand in the long term? A property that lives in an already well-established neighborhood filled with nice-looking homes, mature trees, and, you know, whatever nice neighborhoods have? Or would you rather invest into the middle-of-nowhere Edward Scissorhand homes in a brand-new subdivision? Or worse, something that looks the same as every other row upon row of cookie-cutter homes, far as the eye can see? You're generating more cash flow, yes, but at what capital gains opportunity cost? If I was a connoisseur of investment returns, I'd be particularly thrilled with the profile of a beautifully aged 10-year-old tax-free capital gains spawned from a brick-and-tile unit tucked away in the middle of somewhere nice. I would choose it every day if I was a younger investor, especially still looking to grow a solid foundation of equity before putting weight on it later on. Better a sharp tawny of capital gains than a weak mellow yellow yield. So if you agree that we're living in an age where currency creation's continually going assets up, then think it through. What should you do? It doesn't seem fair in a sense that it works this way, but does everything have to be fair before you get involved? All right, now this is a bit extreme, but let me dial it up a little bit further now if I can. Long term, Yield is nothing because dollars are dying. What happens when dollars leak value is that dollar-denominated assets go through the roof. Why on earth would you want to trade exponential asset appreciation for good yield now? How are we doing? Struggling with this opinion-only topic of today? I honestly cannot blame you. It's incredibly hard to keep on listening in to something that you don't agree with. If you do need to tune out, I respect that. If you can, keep listening. I don't know about your chest, but it will put hair in your ear holes at the very least. Okay, another dark side of investing in new builds. Favorable tax treatment. Sounds like I'm repeating myself, but I'm not. This time it's a negative. Farmers against city folk. Vaccinated against unvaccinated. Ute drivers against electric car drivers. Whew, I can keep on going. Actually, I will. The haves and the have-nots. The Yannis and the Laurels. And then finally, the new build investor and the pre-existing investor. Can you see a pattern here? Now, in some cases, inconsistent tax rules, credits, rebates, and exemptions create division, distortion, and ultimately results in a higher misallocation of capital. That's what could play out in the new build space in the next few years. Favorable tax treatment on new build investments is a relative positive today. Yes, I know that, but that's why it's also a negative too. Higher demand from investors for the exact same class of asset, all hopped up on new tax rules. My spidey senses, I can literally feel sensing spideys right now. So, by the way, check out episode 144 around this for more information on the changes to tax rules implemented this year. Here's the question to consider, though, and I think this is really not that complicated. Will the tax treatment on new builds versus pre-existing properties always be this different? Is it not possible that a new government could change this rule in the future? Perhaps in the future there will be a government that believes, while it's not perfect, perhaps it's easier to blame the free market when there's a failure instead of themselves. Now, it's hard to see how things go much further here in this particular direction, if you can hear me. So whenever you see the pendulum swing too far like this, there's a much higher chance it could swing back the other way and swiftly. So it's not really a smart investment move, making financial decisions purely on tax reasons. It wasn't that long ago that investment properties were sold from property investment groups, which were the actual developers too, on the basis that you could actually pay less tax. That's how they did it. Anyone remember the marketing of negative gearing property investment seminars? Well, how did that work out for investors who bought into rows and rows and rows of homes that later on were discovered to be leaky? While it may not be leaky homes this time around, it could be at least a harbinger of things to come. An abundance of tax or lack of tax can create bubbles within bubbles in times of despair and poverty within poverty when times actually are going pretty well. Yet another dark side. It makes sense financially to buy a new build as an investment, but it doesn't make sense emotionally. Hang on, shouldn't we be thinking logically about our investment decisions? Well, the reality is most people can struggle making decisions when stress levels increase, which they often do when you're in the middle of making a big decision. It's because emotion takes over, and emotion doesn't think too good. When the market takes a decent turn, and it could happen, even though you were rational and thinking long-term going into it, it can still get really scary during market downturns. That's why prices go down. People get scared. You and me, we both get scared. And why wouldn't you be included in this set? Yes, you're smart, but the brain often gets turned off when the feelings take over. It's hard to imagine yourself acting irrationally and capitulating to a point where you might sell at a loss. When there's new properties and high rates of concentration, there's an increase in price sensitivity to even minor changes in demand. So why can I say what I'm saying? Even around 2 years ago still, I was still dealing with people who were left holding properties that ended up costing them all sorts of pain financially, emotionally, and even in some cases health-wise, all in the pursuit of high-yielding, low-maintenance, brand-new properties purchased off the back of great tax benefits. Especially if new builds are purchased at market tops, it just seems all too possible for a market correction to take far longer to recover from. Now, a reminder, this isn't advice to you specifically. It's just designed to get you to think. Don't freak out and sell or cancel a contract. Whatever you were thinking when you made that decision is likely still the best decision. I'd like to assume that anyway. Now, another way for me to frame it is this. Although purchasing the 80-year-old small cottage with a white picket fence a 10-minute walk away from the city is the worst possible investment from a maintenance, tax, and cash flow perspective, It has something that new builds often don't have: emotional appeal. Now, we're emotional people, right? That's dangerous. We've already talked about that, but it's also predictable. Be honest, is it possible that even with you, some decisions you make are purely emotional, yet you try to wrap it up in a logic for presentation purposes? That's why, no matter how smart it is to invest in a new build, some people will always choose pre-existing. Or maybe they're just more in touch with their feelings or something. I don't know. You cold, heartless new build investors, you. Okay, quote of the day. The free market isn't perfect, but it is wondering why it has to be. Now, that was me. I just said that. Let's discuss oversupply risks now. The free market isn't perfect, but it's kind of predictable too, as it's just a bunch of emotional people buying and selling nonstop. Sure, it's pretty crowded out right now by something else, but if you look, you can still find pockets of it scattered around the street, lying on the footpaths, trying desperately to breathe. But supply and demand, as they seldom move at the same time, lead to situations where there's incorrect pricing. This is something to be mindful of with respect to where we are. Right now, there may still be a significant amount of demand in the property investor space. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure there is. But more and more of this demand now, I wonder, is being funneled directly towards new builds. More demand creates more of a microeconomy of solicitors, accountants, council employees, real estate agents, mortgage buyers, and buyers and sellers of property. All of this is slapped on top of another layer of an industry, the property development industry. Resources like capital and labor pour into where the greatest return is for a season. My only concern, though, is that it can all change in an instant. Less buyer demand creates a shift down the supply curve and lower prices come next. Less profits, smaller players exit, but larger players battle on due to fixed costs. Worst case, some of the properties in these new developments just don't get finished. Bankruptcy. Mortgagee sales, invoices don't get paid, labor then reallocates to another region, and the cycle resets. It could take years. Am I saying that it's going to happen, though? Chances are higher now than what it was before. So there it is, the good and the bad and ugly combined. What I really think about investing in new builds. An opinion, not a fact. So if you're after yield or income relative to what the property's worth, you're really doing well with a new build as an investment property. If, however, you believe that capital gains will continue to dominate far in excess of the gains made by targeting yield, then don't rule out buying a pre-existing home as a rental. It's an interesting environment out there. Don't underestimate what could come next, but don't stop going about what you already decided was a good idea either. Good decisions can survive the test of being challenged. So if you haven't been tested on your good decision yet, I hope this wee little chat today has helped you out in some way. As many of you who do invest in new builds have a long-term focus, I certainly wouldn't suggest that you would ever need to panic about negative growth rates in property for a short period of time, which this will be if it happens, in my view. Now, if you're at the edge of considering a purchase, though, and there's even a minor whiff of FOMO in the air around this, just mask up as an exercise of precaution just to be safe. Do your due diligence. All right, I hope you enjoyed that wee one, and I hope you made it through without too much trauma. What do you think? Do you disagree with my thinking, and do you remember why you believe the way you do? Maybe you agree with me, though. I'm not sure. But either way, whether you have a passive or active strategy here, you should be able to explain how you arrived at your actions or your inactions to your future self believably one day. Avoid regrets. All right, that's it for me. Hey, or actually quickly, I need to ask you a favor. Check out the show notes if you can, and you'll see a link to a special questionnaire. I'm doing a bit of research. And if you'd like to help me out, I'd really appreciate it. It'll take you maybe 5 minutes to do. It's just a short questionnaire. Have an amazing weekend, though, New Zealand, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening into the NZ Everyday Investor Podcast, a show that's about helping you, the everyday Kiwi, build wealth. To learn more about the show, please visit nzeverydayinvestor.com or visit your show notes on your podcast player. There, you can find out how to make contact, sign up to our newsletter, and check out previous episodes. We're on a mission to increase wealth for everyday Kiwis. If you'd like to support what we do, then there's a few things that you can do. Write a review on whatever platform you're listening to this on. Share episodes with your friends, or support us financially on Patreon. Before we finish up, Just another reminder that what was discussed today is for educational purposes only. Ideally, before acting on anything covered here, please contact your trusted financial advisor or do your own research. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll catch you next time around.